Thank you, Brother Gordon. Good evening, everybody. Sure nice to see such a lovely attendance. I want you to turn, please, to the 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and just one verse there. We're going to read a couple of verses of other epistles, and what I'm going to do is read from a modern English translation to sort of help understand one of the passages in particular, is a very difficult one, but the first one is 1 Corinthians 9:27. There where it says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection," in your King James Version that you're reading, and I'll read, of course, this other translation. In fact, let's back up to verse 24 of your chapter, 1 Corinthians 9, reading from verse 24. And keep in mind, what we want to talk about tonight is the joy and the peace that a Christian has by having a yielded body to Christ. Okay, now verse 24. Paul the Apostle is writing, and he says, "In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. Blue ribbon will fade, silver cup will tarnish, and all the things of this life, they sort of degenerate. But the Apostle Paul is saying, when you win this race, when you run the race for Christ, your reward will never fade or it'll never disappear." You see? Verse 26. Now Paul is saying, "So I run straight to the goal." Keeps his eye on the goal. Doesn't look to the left or to the right. Many runners make that mistake. They look around at the competitor, and by just glancing over their shoulders, they lose the race. Many a person is lost. But he says, "I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step that I take." Then he turns to fighting. He says, "I fight to win." He doesn't mean literally physical boxing, but he uses the allegory. He uses the illustration of a boxer. He said, "I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around." That's verse 26. Okay, now verse 27. "Like an athlete, I punish my body." And this, you said, but in the King James Version you have, "But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be," and your version says, "castaway." That's not the best word, because no Christian is really a castaway, but he's disqualified. That is the real meaning of the word castaway there, lest that he become a disqualified in the race. And so you'll come across that word in many other translations. So let me read it in this modern English. "Like an athlete, I punish my body. I treat it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to do. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside and be disqualified." You see? And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in this race for the Lord, okay? Now, I don't want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4:10. Don't turn to it. But there, the Apostle is saying, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That is, I'm always subject to death. I could be put to death for the sake of the gospel any day. My body could be killed at any moment. That's what he's saying there in 2 Corinthians. Now, here's a passage that is a little difficult. Romans chapter 6. I want you to turn to that one. And again, I'm going to read it in this modern English translation to help you. And so that we'll get a good understanding. And we'll read from verse 12. Now, in your version, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now listen to this. Verse 12. Do not let sin control your puny body any longer. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning. But give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from death, and you want to be tools in the hands of God and to be used for His good purpose. Sin need never, verse 14, sin need never again be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and mercy. Now, Romans 6, you read the whole chapter, there are some things in it you might find very difficult to understand, but it's a beautiful chapter. And the Apostle Paul said, what he's saying is, we can have victory. We don't have to give in to every whim or every desire of the flesh, every desire of the body. And you know, speaking of the body, just so that we'll remember the message tonight, we want to speak of first the marvel of the body. Second, we want to talk about the mastery of the body. And thirdly, the manifestation of Christ in and through the body. Very simple, easy to remember it. Okay? Keep those three thoughts in mind, and that will be our lesson for tonight. Now, the marvel of the body, none of us would deny that when you think of the human body or the body of a creature, as far as it goes, it's just amazing. The qualifications, the things that it is capable of doing, the very structure of the body. I never cease to be amazed at it. You take the simple homing pigeon. You can take a pigeon 600 miles away, blindfolded the whole time that you take it, or put it in a box, cardboard box, cover the lid, put a couple of holes in it so it could breathe, and take it 600 miles away from home, and you get there and you let it go. That thing will go up in the air, soar, turn around a few times, and if you brought it from the south, shoo, it'll fly 600 miles south to where you took it from. Now, it didn't see the highway. It didn't see the big, tall skyscrapers and buildings. It didn't see the forests or anything that you passed when you drove it there. How did it get back? In the creature, in the mind and the body of that creature, God had placed a wonderful knowledge. You and I don't understand it. It just shows you the marvel of the body of a simple bird, a homing pigeon. It's amazing when you think of it. What about the hummingbird? We don't see too many around now. And by the way, boys and children, if you have any birds that you see and nests and eggs and little birdies, don't rob them. Don't rob them. You rob a bird of its mother, of its little birdies in the nest. Think of all the sorrow you bring to the mummy bird and the papa bird. Recently downward, just where I tie my boat, of all places, a fighter. I didn't know they were called fighters, but I know now. Right where I tie my rope now, she built her nest. And when I got there, unfortunately, I say unfortunately, for me, she had three eggs in it. And boy, every time I went to go to that, to tie my boat, she'd pick me in my head and sometimes the papa bird would come down and he would pick me in my head. You say, well, how do you know the difference of papa bird and the mama bird? Well, the mama bird is the ugliest one. The papa bird is the prettiest. That's how you can tell. That's true. Because God made the mama bird like that, the ugly one, so that she'd look just like the nests and the wood and the branches and the trees around. That is a camouflage. Sorry, ladies. That's no reflection on you. But the lady bird always is the ugly one, but the papa bird usually is the beautiful bird of the bird family. And that is the reason. God in His wisdom made it that way. But get back to the fighter bird. And there I said, well, I'm not going to destroy this nest. And I had to put up with that every time I went to my boat. Little Frankie, he ran for his life one day. He wouldn't go near the place. I had to put him off the other side of the dock. But I'd go there, tie my always wear hat, and come down and pop, and pick me. Well, then when the birds were hatched, they were beautiful. They were coming. They were nice, getting a nice size, getting feathers on it. I said, pretty soon, they're going to be big enough, and they'll be able to fly away, and I'll be able to tie my boat without any trouble. And I said this. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. She ain't never going to make a nest here no more. I went through so much. Last Sunday, when I came home for breaking the bread, or Sunday before, rather, they picked me again, twice. Wednesday, when I came home, some children had gone to the nest, pulled it out, and drowned the little birdies into the creek. Now, boy, I felt so bad about that. All that I went through, Brother Donald, and I suffered just to save those little creatures. They were beautiful birds, you know, and she was only protecting her young. That's all she was doing. I'd do the same thing with my young. And God protects His young ones, doesn't He? Of course. The children went there and destroyed the nest, pulled the birds out, and they drowned in the sea. But it's amazing, the wisdom of those little birds. The hummingbird, it beats its feathers or its wings 200 times a second. Can you take that in? Those little wings are fluttering so fast you can't even see it. And the other amazing thing about that little body, that little bird, it can fly up like a helicopter, come down like a helicopter, go ahead, and even fly backwards. It's an amazing little bird. The body is an intricate and beautiful thing. What about the honeybee? Honeybee, you usually get 45,000 in a hive. It could be a few more or a few less, but that's the average, okay? And they visit 250,000 blossoms in one day. Can you take that in? All right? They, in all of their travels for 250,000 blossoms, they all cover an area, putting all of them now, that go out for honey, 50,000 square miles. Now, they don't go 50,000 miles this way or 20 miles this way and 20 miles. No. But all of them put together, the land area that they cover is at an average of 50,000 square miles. And they do that 50,000 square miles in one day to get 1 pound of honey. They're real workers, aren't they? Oh, I'll tell you, I wish my body could keep up and do something like that for the Lord. Would you like to have a body that's active like that? I use these little creatures. There are so many, but I only pick out a few. But what about man? The marvel of the human body, for instance, the brain. No electrical switchboard in the world is like it. If a man had to build a brain, he would have to have a building the size of the Empire State Building to put it in. The brain with the nerve cells and endings and all the intricate part of the brain itself, what the brain is able to do. For instance, look at the computers. All the computers that they have today. That look at the buildings that they have to store it in, and all one room, how many computers they have to put in so many programs. And it's amazing what they do with a computer, yet it cannot be comparable to the brain yet for the size of the brain. It is amazing. The brain that we have is so far better to a degree of the computer in this sense. Ever since I was born, or when I could even talk or hear things, it registered on my computer, my brain, and it's still there. Did you know that? I'm only 67. And for 67 years, my little computer, my brain, has a storage and a filing cabinet that if we were to put everything that's in my brain now, and ain't that much by comparison, but put it in the filing cabinet, you'd have to have a building like the Empire State Building to store it in. You wouldn't have room to store it in. And the amazing part about the brain of mine, and I was leading Brother Earl, but I told you, I leading Brother Earl, he wanted to walk when I went to see him last week, and I walked him to the door, and I walked him to the kitchen, and this is what he said, as I repeat, he said, Brother Frank, he says, I can remember when there was only 2 bicycles in Spanish Wells. I told him, Brother Earl, I can't remember where I parked my car. And he can remember back when there's only 2 bicycles. What does this tell you? His brain has stored, like a computer, the information about his early days and the things that he can remember. You may forget it, but it's there. It lodges on the brain. Listen, we haven't tapped the resources of the brain. No matter how long you live in life, if you live to be 70, you were using about 10% of the brain's capacity. Did you know that? The reason why we can't use the rest of it is because of sin. Sin hindered the body, hindered the brain, and we can't actually use all of our faculties the way we like. Some of us may not use 10% of the lifetime, but nevertheless, that's not your fault, not mine. That'd be my case. But you know something? When we get on to glory, the marvel of this body, he's going to liberate the body, he's going to make it a perfect body, and you're going to have the faculty, and you're going to have a mind that will be just super, super abounding and supernatural. It won't be as good as God's, because then you'll be God, like God. You're not going to be that good, but it's going to be simply amazing. Oh, the marvel of the human body. The brain, as I said, and I can't spend no more time here. What about the nervous system? Or the nerve system? No telegraphic mechanism is equal to the nerve system or all the nerve endings in the body. We don't have time to go into that, but it's simply tremendous. It's amazing. If we didn't have those nerves and nerve endings functioning in the body, the whole arm would go limp and be crippled. That's how vital those nerve endings are. And the spinal cord is what is the real, we call it the backbone. It's true. There is the life center, the nerve center of the entire body. And the brain is to the top of it. 3 sections of the brain. And they work together. And they never work apart from each other. I hope not, anyhow. What about the eye? No camera in the world, and man has been good. You know, he's made a camera, and you get up there, and he's got self-focusing now, and he's getting pretty good. He takes a picture, and a lot of times it's blurred, can't see in the distance, and but I'm up here, and instantly, and I look at Brother King, and I can look right back at Morris, and I hate to call him by his nickname, Brother Slim. Forgive me, my beloved. I can't remember all the names of people in the land. I can remember the nicknames. It's terrible. Albert. I can see Albert clear as day, you see, and I can see King. Just quick. I mean, instantly. Instant focus. Man, it's just amazing about the eye. We can't even begin to talk about the eye or what's involved there. And the voice, no radio in the world is more wonderful than the human voice that God has put in this body. And what about a heart that we have, the heart? I go through this quickly. No pumping system in all the world is like it. It pumps 7 tons of blood a day. Did you hear me right? That's right. Few tons every 48 hours, and in a lifetime, as it beats 72 times a minute, 4,320 times an hour, which means that in 1 year, your heart literally beats 40 million times. Yeah, but it, in her lifetime, 40 million times in 1 year, just imagine how many times it beat as the oldest Sister Ruth is tonight. Just imagine though, when God put it together, it worked the first time. Isn't it amazing? In human heart. We take it for granted. Well, of course it gets worn down. Of course it gets old. Of course, after a while, because of clogged arteries, it's harder to pump, and some of us die with heart trouble. But that doesn't underestimate the power and the wonderfulness of the human heart, the heart itself. That what I'm trying to get at is this, love. The body is a marvel. Treat it bad, it's going to treat you bad. But so the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? All right? Your brain, your eye, your hearing. There's another one who then he didn't even talk about the hearing. The heart, and he's not only thinking of the physical heart. The Bible, when it speaks of the heart, speaks of the emotions and the will. Always with the heart, we love. Yeah, it uses the heart and the mind. And so if we take this body and turn it over to God, the marvel of it, just imagine what you can do for the glory of God. The brain. I have more trouble with my brain than I do anything else. Because in the brain is a thought life. You know? And sometimes I say, what in the world are you thinking that for? Forgive me, Lord, and go on to something else. And I like to always take the word of God, and then the devil bombards your thought life, cram it with scripture. The word of God is the best thing to ward off, forgive me Lord, and go on to something else. And I like to always take the word of God, and then the devil bombards your thought life, cram it with scripture. The word of God is the best thing to ward off evil thoughts. And when I say evil thoughts, I don't mean lust necessarily. I mean evil thoughts about people. You know? A lot of people think the only evil thought is lust. God forbid, if you should think that, you're going to be trapped. There are a lot of ways of evil thoughts. Wrong attitude about your brethren and sisters. Wrong attitude about an individual. Judging a person. That comes with thought. The thought life. Judge without a trial even. You might hear a rumor, you might hear something, and you judge. Can't do that. We must be very careful in this connection. So in the marvel of the body, if you take the structure of the human body, how it is, and we could, like Paul said, in talking about the gifts to the body, he said the arm can't say to the eye, I have no need of thee, or the eye to the hand, I have no need of thee. They work together, you see? And they coordinate. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people with bodies that do not coordinate because of a deformity, because they have a problem. They've been born that way, or they had an accident. And we feel sorry for them. But the lesson I want to get across is that the body coordinates. It functions together. It's wonderful when you think of it. And that's what the Spirit of God does. When I learn to turn my body over to the Holy Spirit, what happens? There's coordination. You know, the hand doesn't work against it. Wouldn't it be terrible? Bradford spoke my foot wanted to go that way, and he says, I'm not going where you say to the other foot. You could go that way all your life, but I am going this way. What in the world would happen? Huh? Man, it'd be an awful, awful struggle, eh? Suppose the hand, the mind said to one hand, pick it up, and the other hand says, don't pick it up. You know, it doesn't work that way. When the mind says, pick it up, the hand works as it's alright, and it picks it up. If the mind controls the hand. And who is the head of the body? The Church of Jesus Christ. Who is the head? Christ. And so when Christ says to my hand, go and lend a hand to somebody, I go and lend a hand. If the Lord says, the mind, the head of the body says, put your hand in your pocket and pull out $20,
give to that poor person.